Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba, Jaya Giri Varadhari, Jaya Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Balaba, Jaya Giri Varadhari, Jaya Giri Varadhari. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Bihari. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jai Shora Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jai Shora Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava, Jayo Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Stathadastati Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavarindi Ki Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premsega Host Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Garadhar Shivas Arigaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopagopina Shyamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dhamaki, Shri Mayapur Dhamaki, Ganga Maiki, Chamuna Maiki, Bhakti Deviki, Tulasi Deviki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrindaki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Bahir. Antaf, Pura, Dvara, Saravaf, Purvavad, Avrita, Tato, Bala, Dvanim, Shrutva, Griha, Pala, Samutita, Shri Sukha Uvacha Bahir Antaf Puradvara Saravaf Purvavad Avrita Tato Bala Dvanim Shrutva Griha Pala Samutita Shri Sukha Uvacha Bahir Antaf Puradvara Saravaf Purvavaravrita Tato Bala Dvanim Shrutva Griha Pala Samutita Sri Sukha Uvacha, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Bahi Antapura Dvara, the doors inside and outside the house, Sarva, all, Purva, Vat, like, oh, before, okay. Avritaha, closed, Tataha, thereafter, Bala Dvanim, the crying of the newborn child, Shrutva, hearing, Grihapala, all the inhabitants of the house, especially the doormen, Samutitaha, awakened. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King Parikit, the doors inside and outside the house closed as before. Thereafter, the inhabitants of the house, especially the watchmen, heard the crying of the newborn child, and thus awakened from their beds. Purport. The activities of Yoga Maya are distinctly visible in this chapter, in which Devaki and Vasudev excuse Kamsa for his many devious, atrocious activities, and Kamsa becomes repentant and falls at their feet. Before the awakening of the watchman and others in the prison house, many other things happened. Krishna was born and transferred to the home of Jashoda in Gokula. The strong doors opened and again closed, and Vasudeva resumed his former condition of being shackled. The watchmen, however, could not understand all this. They awakened only when they heard the crying of the newborn child, Yogamaya. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has remarked that the watchmen were just like dogs. At night, the dogs in the street act like watchmen. If one dog barks, many other dogs immediately follow it by barking. Although the street dogs are not appointed by anyone to act as watchmen, they think they are responsible for protecting the neighborhood. And as soon as someone unknown enters it, they all begin to bark. Both Yogamaya and Mahamaya act in all material activities. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. But although the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead acts under the Supreme Lord's direction, mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Dog-like watchmen, such as politicians and diplomats, think that they are protecting their neighborhoods from the dangers of the outside world. These are the actions of Maya. But one who surrenders to Krishna is relieved of the protection afforded by the dogs and dog-like guardians of this material world. So this action of Krishna's yoga maya, his energies, then everything is going on. I mean, it's all under Krishna's direction, but the energies, then they're carrying it out. And, you know, especially Maya, she knows what to do, so standard things just go on in the standard way. So the devotees understand this. The demons don't. The demons have this idea that I'm the controller of what happens. So what I do, then that will create the, you know, my good fortune. So, of course, you do have an indirect aspect of that. If you do good work, you get good results. You do bad work, you get bad results. But we're not actually in control of that and how it's happening, when it's happening, the volume, all these things. That's all being carried out by Maya. But the demons, they're all very conscious that I am the controller and enjoyer, so then they think that because I control in a certain way, it will work. Right? Just as Krishna, he has his determination, and that determination works. So the demons are also trying to copy that. So they think that what I think, what I endeavor for, that will happen. Right? Just because they want it. But then we see here is that there's something above that. There's Krishna's control of the whole thing. So that we see with Yoga Maya, that Krishna's controlling everything through his energies. And the Yoga Maya is then creating the opportunity of service to Krishna. And Mahamaya is covering the living entities so that they don't see these opportunities. So both of them are always working. Oh, both of them are pervading the material universe. So at any time, we actually have the option to take advantage of the Yogamaya aspect instead of the Mahamaya. So if in knowledge of Krishna, in surrender to Krishna, following the order of the spiritual master, then we can start to appreciate the opportunities for devotional service and take those. But if not, then we'll see, like is mentioned here, then the guards and them, then they're only acting for the materialistic principle. And so they can't understand the spiritual. They don't even know it exists. And why they would be so convinced? Because they think whatever they think, whatever they do, that's actually what happens. Well, no, it's whatever Krishna desires, that's what happens. And then according to them, according to their karma, then they appreciate and understand certain aspects of the material energy and other aspects they are completely unaware of. So we see here is that the doors are opening. Vasudeva is going out. He's going to Braj. He's coming back. Everything's going back to the way it was before, but now Krishna's in Vrindavan and Yogamaya is now in Mathura. But the guards know nothing of this. So they only hear the baby, and then they wake up, and then they start to plan and act according to that. And Kamsa and all his associates, they'll also work in the same way. They don't understand that there's something beyond. So that's the uniqueness of devotional service, is that one becomes aware of what's beyond. One becomes able to appreciate that beyond the mechanical workings of the material world, just the day-to-day workings, then there's also the element of Yogamaya on how all that is actually connecting to Krishna. So Mahamaya means even though it is connecting to Krishna, we don't see the connection. We don't see how it's working. We don't see that it's working because of Krishna's desire. We just see as here's an opportunity for me to enjoy myself. That's all we see. And so then we take advantage of that. And we're thinking that the material energy that's being supplied, that's the cause of it. But it's not understood as, no, the potency is coming from Krishna. Right? Means when Maya, she has two features. She's the, the immediate cause and the, what's the other one? An efficient cause. So in one, she is being the material energy, the 24 elements, what everything is made is her. But that makes the gross body, the subtle body and all that. But that can't cover the jiva. The jiva may be inside, but the jiva's, we're here in the material world. We can think of Krishna, it's all made of material elements. So it's not that the body, gross and subtle body are covering the living entity, that's why they're an illusion. It's the second aspect. It's called jiva maya, where she extends her potency and so that the living entity cannot understand. Does that make sense? So, in other words, she's covering the living entity, the consciousness, then they can't understand the position they're in. Right? It's just like Jarabharat is in the body of a deer, but he's not covered by Jiva Maya. Right? So even though he's covered by the material elements, the 24 elements, he still sees Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So he's been thrown into this position, but he's not covered. So he's Krishna conscious. So for the living entities in the material world, then both have to function. Because if someone's in a good position, and then because of lack of good activities, the next in the future, they're not in a good position, they don't really want to know about it. If you're like a bug or something, you don't want to know that last lifetime you were the king. Because that'll be very annoying. Because now as the bug, you can shout orders as loud as you like. No one will hear them and nobody will care. Like that. So then Maya covers these. So that's just how it's taken care of, that the living entities are there. But Yoga Maya, as Prabhupada said, is also pervading everything. Because it's Krishna's energy, his Daiva Maya. And so all these things can be seen in the context of Krishna. So it's not that the inferior qualities can't be used for Krishna. It's our consciousness, if it's inferior, that's why we don't use it for Krishna. So the spiritual facilities in the spiritual world, then the pure devotees, they use those for Krishna. But those who aren't, then they see how they can be used in connection with themselves. Right? Like we have Krishna and his pastimes are there. The gopis are seeing everything connected to Krishna. But you see Abhimanyu is seeing how, and Jatila, Kautila, they're seeing how can we get some benefit? How can we get more money, more facility, more prestige, more control? But they're dealing with spiritual energy. There isn't something else there. Understand? It's the same element. But for them, it's acting as Mahamaya. You know, at least in our perspective. You know, pastimes, that's another thing. But we're discussing this, bringing out this point. So, it's not the time, the place, the circumstance. It's our consciousness. That has to be very clear. Otherwise, oh, what could I do? Yeah, it means that at any point you can always be Krishna conscious. We may be inclined not to be, and if the situations aren't favorable, yes, we will tend to also not be Krishna conscious. So we'll tend to be Krishna conscious in situations that we would consider that's for Krishna consciousness. Right? You know, it's like you come, you sit down in the temple, you're in front of the deities, you're chanting the japa. You generally don't sit there and think about ordering a pizza or something. It means you could do it, your phone will do it, you know. But you generally don't think of that. But then if you're sitting at home and you're hungry and there's nothing there to eat or you're lazy, then you'll do. You understand? That's why you consider. So the positions externally, yes, are different. But the point of being Krishna conscious, that's something that's just as Krishna's pervading everything, his yoga maya is pervading everything. The consciousness, the ability to be consciousness in any situation is always there. But we will, because we're identifying with the external, then we will take it that the external makes the Krishna consciousness. And yes, the external is used in the Krishna consciousness. And that's fine. Since we are external to start with, that's where we start, right? If you want to get somewhere, you start from where you are, not from where you'd like to be. Right? Let's say we want to go somewhere. We want to go to Delhi. So now we have to start from where we are sitting right now. And then from there, go to wherever you're staying. Then you get your luggage. Then you get yourself to the airport. Then from the airport, then you get yourself to Delhi. Does that make sense? But if you think I'm already in Calcutta, then you have a problem. And even worse, if you think you're already in Delhi. Yeah, that really doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Unless it means Delhi means, you know, the little shop around the corner with the Jewish guy. Then, you know, fine. But, in some sense. So, the difficulty will come up is that we're conditioned to thinking that religion works because of the external form. And the material religion, that's how it works. Right? Austerity works in a more simple environment. Charity works if there's money. Hard to give in charity when there's nothing. Right? Somebody says. So we're used to that like that because we see everything from the external. But when you switch to appreciating how everything's connected to Krishna, then these obstacles aren't in the way. Therefore we see in the Bhagavatam, the pure devotees, at any time, any place, any circumstance, they're always absorbed in Krishna. They're unaffected by the modes of nature. But if we identify with the modes, then we'll say, yes, if the modes are like this, then I can do devotional service. The modes are like that, I can't. But as we see in Bhagavatam, all the examples, it doesn't matter the situation. It all works nicely. You can always be Krishna conscious. So then, you know, here it's saying that Therefore, it means this is how Krishna's energy works, how his Maya works. Now, we take shelter of Krishna, then we're protected from all the effect of the external energy. And if we're not, like Kamsa, then he's very totally under the modes of nature. He's totally controlled. Any questions, comments? No? One of those days. Yes. How dangerous it is to think I'm out of the control of the material energy. Well, it just basically depends on whether you are or not. If you are out of the control, there's no danger at all. To think that we're not controlled by the material energy, then that one always has to be very careful, because the mechanics of how the material energy work are always controlled by the material energy. Like you drop something and it goes down, that's controlled by material energy. It's not that I'm a devotee, they don't drop down. I slip and I drop something and it just comes back up onto the counter. Or no, that doesn't that doesn't work like that. You know, maybe Harry Potter or something, but not in reality, right? Yeah. So the difficulty will come up is that if we have to understand is the soul in consciousness is beyond the modes of nature and can easily be, but the body and mind are still going to function according to their nature. Right? That's not going to change. You know, it's like Garuda still does bird stuff. Right? He's a pure devotee. And basically he's non-different than Vishnu. But he still does bird stuff. He still flies around. He still has wings. And for, you know, when he gets feeling a bit peckish, then he, you know, goes and checks out the nagas, like that, you know, like that. So that doesn't change. So that's the whole thing is we have, the body has a nature, so we're following the human nature. As we can see, as Krishna's following his pastimes, he didn't have to go through all these things, but it's more fun, the human pastimes. We're thinking, oh, the demigod stuff would be better. But Krishna, you know, knows all these things. He's all these potencies are there, so he knows the human is the best. Because in human, then the maximum opportunity is there for relationship and endeavor in relationship. So we see is that having a relationship, acting that relationship, tasting in that relationship, that's actually where happiness comes from. So that's why the human platform is the best. You see, those are the highest. Otherwise, Vaikuntha would be the highest because he's God there. But in the spiritual world, that's the lowest. Then when you add in some sweetness in Dwarka, then it's higher. Then when you add in full sweetness, Braj, that's the highest. And they just act on the human platform. You know, you always see them quoting, you know, the human rules and Manu Samhita and Bhagavad Gita and the duties they're supposed to do and all that. They never go, you know, we're not this body and all this and do whatever they like. So it's very important to understand is philosophically, yes, we're not the body and all that, but then there's the culture, there's the application of I'm not the body. Okay, if I'm not the body, what does that mean? Now can I fly? You know, now do I not have to breathe or, you know, I don't have to pay my rent, you know, because I'm not this body. You know, what does that mean? It has to be applied. That's the culture. That's the religion. So then, therefore, since you have actually 8,400,000 options of religion to follow, therefore, we want to be very careful to follow what the acharyas give us. Because otherwise, we will not know, literally. The options are so wide, we won't know. You know, if you go into a restaurant and there's 8,400,000 options, what will you choose? You have no idea what to do and it doesn't sound, you know, like a, how you say, braised aardvarks may sound good, but that's not human. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be something in the savanna. You know? So you don't know where you're going to get yourself. So the acharyas, that's why you follow in the footsteps. They show what you do. Especially that's why Chaitanya Charitamrita showed is the highest, because the Lord and his associates show how to traverse from the material platform to the transcendental platform as a devotee in Kali Yuga. So that's why we follow what they do. It means you can make up whatever you like, you know, because as Prabhupada says in that Hare Krishna address, that, you know, this Hare Krishna, this chanting is so perfect and so wonderful that anyone can do it, even a child, even a dog. So, yes, you can do dog stuff for Krishna, but at the same time is, you know, but the dog activities go with dog bodies. You know, so like Shivananda sends dog doing dog stuff and, you know, pleases the Lord and he goes back to Godhead. But if we do dog stuff, then we may not be as fortunate. So that's why we're supposed to do human stuff. And human stuff means then it's given by, it's coming from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So it's according to scripture. And then the angle on that's given by the Acharyas so that we know how to apply it to our personal individual situation. So it's knowledge, it's not rules, it's knowledge. Because the rules are there just so that you have the knowledge to choose. Because they're telling you what does what, what's the effect, how one turns into the other, how you can elevate yourself, how you degrade yourself. So therefore, it's your choice. We're not controlled by the, just like we're not controlled by the modes, we're not controlled by the rules. We know what they are, and therefore we voluntarily surrender and want to follow that because we want to get the results that are offered by those. Right? And because that's the emphasis, then it's about that attitude of pleasing Krishna. Then as we become, you know, practice at the rules, the focus is not on the rules anymore. The focus is on the service, on the attitude, on the mood. And then it just naturally turns from Vaidhi into Rag. So that's the process. But if we're always avoiding the rules and this and that, why would we avoid human rules? You know, and then choose, you know, how you say, unscientific, just vox populi kind of stuff. Because where is this population going next life? You know, it's a good chance not back to Godhead. It's a good chance not even to the heavenly planets. And probably not even to the Antariksha. You know, they're not even going to be, you know, big time, you know, how you say, Rakshasas and Yakshas and all that. You know, there's a good chance it'll be more like, you know, worm and stool and, you know, this kind of stuff. You know, the local cat, local dog, that kind of thing. So why would we want to follow their rules? Because their rules are taking them to wherever they're going. We have ours, what we do. So even though we're not... We're above the modes and the rules, but it doesn't mean we don't follow them. They're being forced to follow them. We're following because we want to use them to please Krishna, because that's what we have. We don't have something else. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you want to cook lunch and all there is potatoes, then you use potatoes. You know, you use what you have. And so we have this particular body. We use this body for Krishna. But we have to know what it is and what it can do. That's why Shastras then define. Then we know, okay, where does this... Okay, if I'm serving Krishna, and so these are the opportunities I have. So I look around. Okay, where are the opportunities? Okay, here's the opportunity. Over there, that's not my opportunity. That's someone else's opportunity. But this idea is, no, I have all opportunities. That's cheating. No, you have your opportunity, and someone else has theirs. Otherwise, if everyone is trying to do the one thing... It doesn't work out. You know, too many chiefs, not enough Indians, you know, like that kind of thing. It just doesn't work. So that's the thing in the Vedic. It's not about the prestige and that the external form gives. It's about the opportunity for devotional service. And so in a particular situation, that's their service. Does that make sense? You know, so like that. It has to be balanced. In other words, it's knowledge, but we always have to remember, without the religion, then it becomes mental speculation. But when we accept the religion with the philosophy, then it's not sentimental, but now it becomes scientific. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay, very good. Something else? No? Yes. Hare Krishna. This mic here. I think you have to turn it on. Strange but true, right? You know, it's a
check. Cool.
You know, it should be able to tell you're talking into it and all these things like that. But That's probably a $10,000 mic, so yeah.
It's a nice mic. So I'm wondering, how do we engage our minds in Krishna consciousness in activities that are very analytical and like mind focused? I find myself like swaying in and out of consciousness of Krishna in certain activities, like typing or like, you know, texting, ordering a pizza, stuff like that. How do we, you know, how do we cultivate that?
How do we extend our Krishna consciousness into more activities?
Yes.
Yes. Means, see, is that the direct activities, those are the ones generally we can be quite confident about. You know, the chanting, associating with devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham, these things. Because being direct, the result and its connection to Krishna are immediate. Right? Indirect means you have to go through many steps to get it to Krishna. Does that make sense? Means I'm chanting Hare Krishna, you're directly dealing with Krishna. You're dealing with Bhagavatam, it's directly Krishna. The devotees, it's directly Krishna. The Dham, like this. So that. But when you're dealing with outside of these areas, then that's where it starts. It has the indirect, because now you could use it in different ways. Like you said, you order the pizza, now you could offer it to Krishna or not. So it's indirect. Once you offer it, now it has all that work you've done before, now all gets connected. Does that make sense? So we just have to see is that the end result of whatever we're doing, the result is for Krishna. Then all the mechanics in between are connected. So even if we can't analyze all the way, if we can just focus on the end, then it will all connect. And then with time, if we have that analytical nature, we might be able to see more or not. It doesn't matter as long as it gets connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Very good. Hare Krishna. Something else? He has something, yes.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, seemed to be something happening.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Maharaj, we say that name, form, the pastimes that we hear of the Lord, they are non-different from Lord.
Yes.
So, but is it just to be understood, or is it how it can be realized?
How can it be realized?
Yes.
That the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord are non-different.
Yes.
Means, first of all, we have to accept. We have that faith. Right? Prabhupada says faith in something sublime. You have to have that. Faith that devotional service is actually going to give this result. Faith that other processes won't give the result. Only bhakti will. So having that faith, then applying it, then with time Krishna reveals himself. So we're always hearing and chanting, but we might find that it doesn't really stick. But, you know, we're in good environment, we're being purified. And if we're appreciating the experience, then it's creating, you know, positive samskaras that we will want to repeat. Does that make sense? So we'll want to hear again and all that, even if we don't remember, but we'll want to hear again. Does that make sense? And so we just keep that. That's why the process is given. Yes, you could do so many things, but you want to keep yourself as close to those ones that are more direct and giving the result more as prominent. Does that make sense? In the consciousness. So, yes. And then with time, these things go, because it's a natural. When you become stable, see, you're not going to remember unless there's stability, right? Because if the mind's in a neutral state, you can think of Krishna. But if it's not in a neutral state, it's thinking of something else, very hard to think of Krishna, right? If we have material desire, so we're thinking of something else, where's Krishna going to come in? So we try to make our devotional service stable. And we become stable by giving up material attachment, right? So that means we may not have given up the attachments themselves or working with them, but we've given up the idea that these attachments will make us happy. We know that. And then if we just keep at that and practicing and doing what we're supposed to do, connecting things to Krishna, slowly, slowly they'll become purified. then if we're steady, then that steadiness, you'll start to see the difference between spiritual activities, since you're regularly doing them, and that regularness, you'll be, you know, by Krishna's grace, become aware. Then you can compare it to the non-steady activities. Right? So then with that gives us a taste. Right? And so with that, then these interest in the material just goes away. And then attachment comes and it's completely gone. Does that make sense? Then we're just focused on Krishna. So it's a natural thing. It means the term used is swarasiki. That the remembrance of the Lord's pastimes comes on its own. It's not that I'm making myself remember. Means that you're doing that instead of remembering this, I'm by using my intelligence to take it away from that and remember Krishna. That's good. That's part of our practice. But when Krishna's pleased, then it just comes naturally. You know, it's not that the gopis get up in the morning and are thinking about this and that. Go, no, I have to think of Krishna. You like that? No, it's just natural. So that starts to happen at the point of asakti, when we have attachment. Like that. Yes. Mike. Here it is. Okay.
Krishna, you mentioned that much of the Vrajlila is ordinary human activity for the residents.
Yes.
Of Vrindavan. Here, though, we see, you know, Yogamaya acting in such a way that it's like from Harry Potter, the locks open.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But that's her, not Krishna. You understand? Means Krishna, he's the Lord of the Icha Shakti. Means it's his desire. Icha is desire. So the his will is what is being carried out. Now, to fulfill the will means you have certain situations. Situations then come from endeavor. And endeavor is based on knowledge. So that means the facility for endeavor, the endeavor itself and the knowledge and all that, that's outside of the Icha. That's supporting the Icha. Right? These are called Kriya and Jnana. So Krishna himself doesn't personally deal with them. Right? Balaram deals with them. So he arranges, that's why he's the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Because he's serving Krishna by arranging the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. So Yogamaya does all that kind of stuff. But Krishna and the devotees don't know it. Like the gopis leave their house when Krishna plays the flute, but they're in such a rush, you know, they don't properly finish. You know, they'll put on one earring or put, you know, eyeliner on one, you know, like that. Or they'll take their dupatta and tie it around their ankle or, you know, put the gagra on the top and they'll put the sari on the bottom and, you know, all these different kinds of things. So they go out like that. And it's left like that, so that Krishna can appreciate that. But once they get there and start the pastimes, they're dressed how they think they wanted to be dressed. Yogamaya just changes it. So no one notices. So if no one notices it happening, then what's the problem? So Yogamaya arranges all that. So the experience for everybody is the human pastimes. Devaki and Vasudev know this because they're Dwarkavasis. So they have that element of that he's God. And so these things happen, it kind of goes along with it. But you see when it happens, they lose that parental relationship. When Krishna first appeared as Vishnu, they're just there for, you know, prayers and this and that. And, you know, so it's not just, what do you call it, you know, Vasudev and the men act the technical prayers. Devaki's prayers are very technical. Then they have the knowledge. Then he has to extend his yoga maya again, so now they take on the parental ras. You see that constantly happening. But the Brajvasis, then even he does something extraordinary, they just take it in the human way. It's kind of like, what? That's weird. You know. Maybe I ate too much for breakfast or something, you know, like that. So they just move on. So for Krishna, it's fun, even if he does something extraordinary, which he always does, it's just their reaction is within the human. And even as human, he's still special. He's still doing it in the human way. It's just like it's Indra sending the rain. He can just, you know, stop Indra where he is. He can stop the rain in space. He can do all these kind of things that, you know, we would do if we had the power. But Krishna just holds up an umbrella. The umbrella is big enough to impress Indra. You know, because you are dealing with a demigod. So if you just hold up a regular, you know, everybody just has umbrellas and all stand out, he'll try harder. But if he holds up a whole mountain, you know, and then he starts to get the idea like that. You know, so he that's the thing. He does it in these human ways, even though it's always very special. So the mystic elements are subservient to the pastimes. They are not the pastimes. You know, because if we had those powers, hey, check this out, and then we'd do something. But so we'd make it the rasa. But for Krishna, it's only a support of the rasa. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, follow me, Mash. No? Okay, sorry. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna.